This episode of Locked On Panthers is brought to you by OnlineGambling.com, the place to be for all the latest gambling news and tips throughout the NFL playoffs. Visit OnlineGambling.com/NFL to get the edge over the competition throughout this year's playoffs.
You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Back here again for another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Julian Council, talking Carolina Panthers with you every Monday through Friday, your team, every single day during the weekday. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. You can also check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Odyssey, and all of your favorite podcasting platforms out there. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, at Julian Council, where every single Friday, like tomorrow, I answer your weekly Friday mailbag questions here on the show. So any questions that you have as they pertain to your Carolina Panthers, your Cardiac Cats, go ahead and get those into me by adding me at Julian Council or DMing me at Julian Council. But first, make sure to click the follow button there on Twitter at Julian Council. On today's show, going to sit down with Joe Person of The Athletic, or from The Athletic, however it's supposed to be said. Either way, Joe Person covers the Carolina Panthers for The Athletic, does a fantastic job. He was just named a North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year. So congratulate him. Send him nice things on Twitter. Don't be mean. Joe does a great job. He's also come on the show a couple times before. I haven't talked to him since August, right before the season started. So excited to catch up with Joe, talk to him about how the season went, the OC search, the quarterback search, what you should do in the draft, and all things going on here with free agency upcoming with the Carolina Panthers throughout the NFL. So get that conversation going here on Locked On Panthers. Also his thoughts on free agency and all things that pertain to your Carolina Panthers. So going to do all that here in just a moment after a message from our friends over at OnlineGambling.com. Hey, Panther fans, we're all looking for an edge these days, and I'd like to thank OnlineGambling.com for sponsoring today's podcast. If you don't know already, OnlineGambling.com is a website dedicated to giving bettors the edge throughout the playoffs. They're providing you with the best NFL tips, news, and more to help make your bets as informed as ever. This week, the experts at OnlineGambling.com have set me the challenge of picking my divisional round upset. I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. Got the win on Sunday on the road against Dallas. Held on there at the end after Jimmy G threw a bad interception. But for the most part, he's been awesome the last 2 weeks. Love Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, that defense that they have there. I'm going to go with the 49ers to get the upset in Lambeau Field this Saturday evening. If you're thinking about backing an underdog in divisional rounds like me, make sure to head to OnlineGambling.com before you do. OnlineGambling.com gives bettors the edge by providing the best and most trusted information to help you make the best decisions possible before placing a bet. That includes their OG tip section, where you can see their own underdog picks as well as the inside track on how to beat the odds throughout the NFL playoffs. Make sure to visit OnlineGambling.com/NFL for all the latest gambling news, tips, and info to beat the odds and give you the edge throughout the playoffs. Remember, OnlineGambling.com/NFL to make the most of this year's playoffs. All right, as promised, Joe Person of The Athletic covers the Carolina Panthers, and I would be remiss if I don't congratulate Joe, who is the North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year from the year 2021, thanks to the National Sports Media Association. Joe, congratulations and welcome back to the show.
I appreciate it, man. Happy New Year. I don't think I've talked to you since we turned over the calendar.
No, man, you haven't. And also, you're too late. Larry David said the cutoff is January 3rd. So, but happy New Year to you either way.
Well, listen, I absolutely would follow Larry David's cue on that. So I am way late.
No, man, but it's good to talk to you, of course. And it's awesome to see you get recognized, you and also Adam Gold, who I've been able to have a relationship with over the last couple of years across North Carolina. And we got so many great people who work in sports media here. And so I'm happy for you and happy to get to see the recognition, because you do a fantastic job covering this team. And that's why I want to catch up with you here today. The last time we kind of spoke in totality about the team was prior to the season. We both had questions about the quarterback and Sam Darnold and what this team would really look like. But we also had expectations that this team would be around 8 or 9 wins. And as we know, that did not happen as they finish off 5-12, losing their final 7 games of the season. And now a lot of fans want Matt Rhule out of town. Taking an overall look at what happened during the 2021 season, what is your thoughts on the Carolina Panthers and the state of the franchise here on January 19th?
Well, they're not great thoughts. it was a rough year. You're right. I was thinking back. I'm glad you reminded me of my prediction. I think I had him at 9-8. And, you know, if McCaffrey'd stayed healthy, would they have gotten to 9 wins? I don't know. They weren't a very good football team. The defense was better, but the offensive line was worse than I thought it would be. We knew they were sort of shopping in the bargain bins when they went out on the first day of free agency and they signed Cam Irving and Pat Elflein. But, I don't know. I guess I thought Cam Irving, if he stayed healthy, would be decent. And, you know, he did not stay healthy. And when he was, he was not very good. And same thing with Pat Elflein. And it was just not a good offensive line. And as you know, quarterback play was poor pretty much across the board, with the exception of that three-game start by Sam Darnold, which I think really we all can agree was kind of a mirage against really bad competition, the Jets and Texans in particular. And then the Saints, on day when a bunch of the Saints were out. So anyway, here neither of us were all that close on our prediction. So better luck next year.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I said 8-9, so I got the losing record right part, I guess. But yeah, it's one of those things too. Like the offensive line, 13 out of 17 games, it had a different combination. No matter the talent on the roster, you're not going to have success there, even if they would have been healthy. I doubt that they would have been good, but I don't think they would have been as bad. Now, the quarterback issue with Sam Darnold, who aside from the first three games, you're right, was pretty bad. And that was a calculated risk the Carolina Panthers made by trading for him. And it seems like that was a mistake, as now they have $18.9 million thereabouts of a cap hit for Sam Darnold next year if he's on the roster in Carolina. Where do they go from here when it comes to the quarterback position, knowing that Darnold likely is on the roster and there's not that great of options coming out of college, and then they might not have the space or the assets to be able to trade for Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or a Deshaun Watson if they are made available here this upcoming offseason?
Yeah, I think – I don't want to call it the obvious choice, but I do think they'll be in on Deshaun Watson, and that they'll – if there's a will, there's a way to create salary cap space. And if you're willing to sort of mortgage the farm in the future and give up, anywhere between 3 and 5 future draft picks, you can get it done. And the Panthers were in on him, as you know, back last spring before the legal situation cropped up. They were in on him again. At least to some degree before the trade deadline. At that point, I think Dave Tepper as well as Stephen Ross in Miami wanted to go, have some sort of sit down with Deshaun Watson, and that wasn't going to happen. And so all that being said, I really do think, and talk about desperation, like now we're if Pepper was interested last year, now they've got another 5-11, 5-12 season staring them in the face with that quarterback play. And I think, I really do think that when that legal situation, if it blows over, and I don't mean to say blows over, when it's resolved,
sure,
I think they're going to be players. Now they're going to be. I think there's going to be more competition, more suitors maybe than last year, because a couple other teams realized that they need a quarterback, be it the Saints, be it the Steelers. But I think that's where you start. And I think there'll be other quarterbacks that shake free too, like, much like Matthew Stafford did last year. You mentioned Wilson and Rodgers. If one of those guys, if Russ Wilson would go to Vegas or something like that, then Derek Carr becomes available. Would Jimmy Garoppolo become available? And then we haven't even gotten into the draft and Matt Rhule's background with Kenny Pickett, which is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, and that's my thing. I'm wondering, because last year, the guys that they went after, you talked about Deshaun Watson, who had that dalliance all the way up to the trade deadline, and also with Matthew Stafford, who rather have gone to the LA Rams, which has worked out well for him, as they are a team that has a chance to won a Super Bowl in a wide open NFC and AFC this year in the NFL. And it didn't seem like they had the appetite to go after a rookie quarterback. And I'm just now wondering, with maybe the limited options, would Matt Rhule even be willing to try and take a rookie quarterback? And I know ownership probably plays a role in this too, knowing that he might be in the same position that Matt Nagy up in Chicago was, drafting a quarterback that he's only drafting basically for his successor.
It is a great question, and it's a fascinating debate. You know, as you said, they're going to have, more than likely, unless they pay someone to take Sam Darnold off their hands, like they did with Teddy Bridgewater, you know, Darnold's going to be on the roster. So is there an appetite for Sam Darnold and, let's just say, Kenny Pickett? You know, kind of that tandem where maybe Darnold starts the first couple games, and you put your free, you put your $28 million or a lot of it, it's salary cap money, toward one of the top free agent tackles, whether it's Armstead in New Orleans, Cam Robinson in Jacksonville, Fisher in Indianapolis. I mean, they're actually, it's a pretty decent crop, especially at Armstead, of and Orlando Brown too, with the Chiefs, who of course, you know, got his way out of Baltimore to play left tackle for Kansas City. He's a free agent. All those guys are expensive. So I don't think you can do the free agent tackle route and the Deshaun Watson route or name some top proven quarterback. But you can do the free agent tackle route and go draft a quarterback in the scenario you mentioned, Julian. And I think all of those scenarios are absolutely on the table.
I think the only thing for me when it goes to the – or comes to the free agent tackle route, and Teron Armstead has proven to be a very good player. I just think back to a couple of years ago with Matt Khalil and how that worked out. And the same thing with the team here in Carolina that probably needs a starting center next year. Pat Elflein's not going to be that guy. And things did not work out Matt Paradis for the most part. So it feels like the draft might be the best place to go there in terms of you're trying to hope to have someone for the next 10 years. Now, that's also wishful thinking. Things don't always work out. If things always worked out, then teams would never be in the position where they're trying to go out there and find guys through via free agency or the draft to replace your players that did not live up to the billing. So that could work out. And the cap space is certainly going to prohibit them. And I'm interested because Scott Fitter was talking about they can be creative. How much of a role do you think it might play in them being able to re-sign guys like Hassan Reddick or Stephon Gilmore or Dante Jackson, because the talk is all going to be at the quarterback position and also offensive line, but they had a really good defense, and there's some really good players who could be exiting the door, and that could bring them a step back next year if they're not able to bring enough of those guys back.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about this year and this season affecting the 2022 cap was when they were still sitting there, again, bit of a mirage and that 3-0 start, JC Horn gets hurt, and they go trade for
CJ Henderson, right?
Yeah, CJ Henderson first, you're right. But
yeah,
then they go get Gilmore, and we only gave up a 6th-round pick. Yeah, correct. But you just spent, I think it was $6 or $7 million that Gilmore had left on the on his salary. And then mm-hmm. Cam Newton for another $6 million. Not all, both of those, like on their own, it's like, okay, you know, but that's $12 million that they could have rolled over into the 2022 cap. And they ended up only rolling over, I think, like $4 or $5 million. And so all of a sudden, money that they thought they had earmarked for Dante Jackson, maybe, and Hassan Reddick, I think now, you know, I think they're a lot more limited as to what they can do with their own free agents.
I'm wondering, of those three, you talk about Hassan Reddick, Dante Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, who do you think is most likely to come back to Carolina?
Man, that's a great question. I'll say Dante Jackson. I don't know how convicted I am in that, but he is the, you know, he's younger than Gilmore. Gilmore, I think, is going to want a shorter deal, which is good and bad. The bad part is you can't spread that, you know, that cap hit out quite as much as you would on like a 4-year deal, for instance, for Dante Jackson.
Right.
I think Hassan Reddick is probably, let me say this. I bet he's the least likely to return. And I just say that because, you know, it's going to be a lot of money, I think. They've been grooming Iker Gross Matos, who when he finally got his chance late in the season, looked pretty good. And, you know, I don't know. I just, you can call me in a month or in March and tell me, but that's kind of my sense.
I agree with you too. I think Hassan Reddick's going to the highest bidder. He's had 23 and a half sacks the last two seasons. He's not taking a discount for the Carolina Panthers. And he's also trying to add some more weight to 250. So that lets you know that he's telling all these teams out here, like, hey, I'm going to get bigger and I produced the last 2 years, so I want the bag. And then Stephon Gilmore, he's going to want to go somewhere to win for the last couple of years of his career. And the quarterback situation in Carolina, as unsettled as it is, I don't see him wasting his time trying to figure out and waiting whether Carolina figures that out or not. And Dante would make the most sense to me out of those three to come back, if he does come back.
More of Joe Person in just a moment.
Let's look over at just the coaching search going on here with the OC and Matt Rhule. Let's kind of start off with him. David Tepper has yet to speak to the media and to the fan base and tell them why Matt Rhule's coming back for a third season. I think out of principle, unless the coach is an abject failure in the first 2 years, like a Joe Judge in New York, I don't think they should be fired after only two seasons, at least give them 3 years in the NFL. Now, Matt Rhule's made plenty of mistakes, the quarterback situation, not addressing the offensive line properly, and also he's just had bad luck with Christian McCaffrey. And you can look at how he manages the game in terms of timeouts and other situations, and there's a lot left to be desired as he's trying to understand more of the NFL game after spending time in college where he had success at Temple and Baylor. Looking at Matt Rhule coming back to Carolina, do you think that was the right decision right now from what you know about this organization, what you know about David Tepper, and do you have confidence that potentially they could make the right decisions to turn things around here in the upcoming months leading into 2022 season?
Was it the right decision? Yeah, I don't know. I do know that and this is not revisionist history. And you know this, when Tepper hired Rhule, the talk was like, hey, don't you know what happened in Rome? Or have you ever heard of Rome? And it was going to be a rebuild. And this guy has done rebuilds elsewhere. And the third year was the big year at Temple and Baylor. Now, is that apples and oranges when you're talking about Temple football and Baylor football versus the NFL and the NFC South? I don't know. I mean, to me, did I see progress out of the defense this year? I did, of course. I think the defense has its own warts in terms of, you talked about Reddick wanting to gain weight. I mean, they're a light athletic group on the edge, and they were so susceptible to that kind of wide power zone running game and all year long. I mean, I don't think they really ever got good at it. But they regressed on offense, and I think they regressed as a team. When you go from 5-11 and you win the same number of games, I understand you missed Christian McCaffrey again, but you know the Titans were without Derrick Henry. Name a bunch of other teams that had success.
I mean, look at what happened with the Saints and how they just barely missed the playoffs. The Raiders losing their head coach in the middle of the year, and also losing Ruggs with the situation that happened there. Tennessee, I think we said Tennessee. There's so many situations where teams that had bad situations were able to overcome that, which makes you wonder about the coaching prowess of Matt Rhule and whether he has the chops to coach here in the NFL. Absolutely.
No, it's a fair question. It's absolutely a valid point. Thank you for providing a couple other of those examples. I've just been reading about Derrick Henry today, and he's like, yeah, they just went and got the number one seed without their top offensive player. So, more on Rhule. The other more about Rhule. where was I going? Okay. The other thing that would have me concerned if I'm David Tepper, and I know this was a point of emphasis with Tepper during last offseason, third quarter and the seemingly lack of halftime adjustments, or at least lack of successful halftime adjustments. That happened again this year. And I do like the fact, back to your question about offense coordinator candidates in the search, I do like the fact that whatever you say about Ben McAdoo, he wouldn't be my first choice, but at least Rule's going out and talking to guys who had NFL head coaching experience, Jay Gruden and McAdoo in particular, because I still remember Ron Rivera, who had spent his entire career in the NFL, as had the majority of his assistants. Even so, Ron Rivera said, I wish I had had a former head coach on my initial Panther staff because it's so hard. There are so many things that, you know, that you got to jump through the hoops on and be knowledgeable about that I didn't know as a first-time coach. Matt Rhule had 1 year as a Giants assistant offensive line coach. You know, the vast majority of his assistants had little NFL experience. If those that did had not been NFL coordinators, let alone an NFL head coach. And so I think he has seen the error of that. And I think that shows up in even not little things, but in big things like halftime adjustments. And knowing that you've got 12 minutes in the NFL or whatever it is compared to almost a half an hour in college to get things turned around.
Yeah, and you mentioned the OC search going on right now as they got rid of Joe Brady with about 4 or 5 weeks left in the season. And it did not change a single thing because the Carolina Panthers couldn't block anybody and they had no one back there, a quarterback that was capable of taking the top off of the defense, and the regression of Robbie Anderson and Christian McCaffrey being out just pretty much made this one of the worst offenses in the NFL. So according to your reporting so far, the Carolina Panthers have talked to former head coach Ben McAdoo of the New York Giants, have also spoken to former head coach of the Washington Redskins, then now football team, Jay Gruden, who I actually would not be against that at all. They've also spoken to Clint Kubiak, who is formerly the OC, the Minnesota Vikings, Mike Rowe and Scotty Montgomery, Mike Rowe, formerly OC back in Philadelphia and now working under Frank Reich there in Indianapolis. Same thing with Scotty Montgomery, the former East Carolina head coach and Duke OC under David Cutcliffe. And of those candidates, and also Pep Hamilton, who's a Charlotte guy, went to West Charlotte, apparently has declined to speak to the Carolina Panthers, which kind of is a red flag to a lot of people, considering just how what black coaches in the NFL, they don't really get the chance, a lot of opportunities to go move up to these coordinator positions. And for someone like Pep Hamilton to say, no, thank you, I'm going to weigh my other options, it kind of raises an eyebrow here in Carolina. Of those candidates, have you gotten kind of any thoughts of who might be a favorite at this point in time, or are they still trying to cast a wide net and kind of come to a conclusion here over the next week or so?
Yeah, it's a good question. And also too, I later went back and added an addendum to that list. They have talked to former Texans offense coordinator Tim Kelly and Packers quarterback coach Luke Getsy. So it is, you know, it's mostly younger guys who do have some experience when you think about a Clint Kubiak and a Scotty Montgomery and a Tim Kelly is youngish. But I'm fascinated by these experienced guys, I guess, for the reasons I just told you about. And, you know, Rhule tried the up-and-coming young, you know, offensive guru with Joe Brady. And I think Joe Brady, by the way, is a smart guy who is you know, eaten up with football and spends a lot of time at it and is going to be good at it. He and Rhule weren't really on the same page. It didn't work out. So I would lean toward the experienced guy. You know, I know Bill O'Brien's name has been mentioned. I'd be surprised. I haven't heard whether he's turned it down or if it even got that far.
He wants to be a head coach, it seems like.
Yeah, right. Like, if you're Bill O'Brien, I don't think coming to a lame duck situation with the Panthers puts you in a better position than staying with Nick Saban at Alabama at worst.
Absolutely.
And maybe going somewhere else. But so I don't know. I mean, yeah, if you're asking me out of this group of seven, I'd probably go with Jay Gruden, just with the experience factor. And, you know, I know his head coaching stint did not go real well, but I do think he's a pretty good offensive dude.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate Jay Gruden. He at least took them to the playoffs with Kirk Cousins, and Washington has been a disaster for the most part under Dan Snyder, who's pretty much tanked that organization in a once proud franchise. So I give him credit for doing that. I know the reporting from the Washington Post might be a little concerning, but I don't really know how much of he plays in that role there. And also with his brother, John Gruden, what came out from there with that situation from the findings in the investigation within the Washington football team. But I think he would make a great candidate just with the head coaching experience. And also he was really good as the Bengals OC prior to getting that head coaching job back with the team formerly known as the Redskins.
One more quick pause and I'll close out my conversation with Joe Person after this. People think unusual circumstances mean complicated taxes, but for TurboTax Live experts, that makes things interesting. Maybe you inherited a condo and you're renting it out, or maybe you're getting paid in crypto and aren't sure how it's taxed. For TurboTax Live experts, an interesting life can mean an even greater refund. Luckily, TurboTax Live can match you with the right expert who has experience in your unique situation and can answer all your tax questions right from your phone or computer. They can even take care of the whole filing process for you. Whether you launched your own startup or are working multiple jobs and juggling multiple incomes, an experienced TurboTax Live expert can help you during the entire filing process or do your taxes for you from start to finish to get you the tax deductions you deserve. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. You do your thing. They got your taxes. Intuit TurboTax Live.
Now, just a couple more here for you before I let you go, Joe. Looking at just the situation here in Charlotte with who has control of personnel, because I think that's one of the things that a lot of fans are wondering about. You look at Seattle, similar structure here from my understanding, and you can and please give me some insight here. But Pete Carroll, for the most part, had the final say on things up in Seattle, worked out for a long period of time. Now it looks like they've changed things over where general manager John Snyder has now taken over control of mainly the final say of how they construct their roster. How are things here in Carolina when it goes to Matt Rhule and Scott Fitterer? And could there be some sort of shift there this offseason, especially after seeing Rhule strike out twice when it came to the quarterback situation? And I guess maybe you can even lump in Fitterer there last year as he was a part of the organization when they decided to trade those three picks to bring in Sam Darnold.
Yeah, so Matt Rhule, it's in his contract. I mean, he has the final say on the 53. And I don't think, two things. I don't think he's gonna want to rip up his contract and take that out. But I also don't necessarily think that there's, a lot of friction or there's any sort of fracture there between him and Fitter. Fitter, when he was hired, I had people telling me that he is sort of a consensus builder, that he's not a guy that has a huge ego that has to be the guy calling every single shot. Scott Fitter ran the draft last year. I mean, there is no question about it. Like, you could tell.
Yeah.
It was like Seattle's war room, come east to Charlotte with all the trading up and trading back and mostly trading back. And it was fascinating to watch. And Matt Rhule, he wouldn't know how to execute that stuff with his background. I'm also not suggesting Matt Rhule is just sitting idly by and not making his opinion felt. I mean, you can't tell me that Matt Rhule didn't have a big say-so in getting Robbie Anderson extended before the season in a decision that now looks flawed based on terrible production by Robbie Anderson. So, yeah, Matt Rhule has a strong voice in it. Like, that's his thing. Like, when you come from college, most of those guys do. They want their hands in on everything from nutrition to weightlifting to – the training room, all of it, and including personnel. But I do, I don't think Fitter is the type of guy that, and I think that's part of the reason they hired him, that he was, and I hate to say he's just like going to nod and be a yes man, but he is a dude who can work with folks and kind of, not be threatened when Matt Rhule wants to have his say-so on specific personnel moves.
Okay. Yeah, no, because, I mean, it's obviously an important offseason for Matt Rhule. Scott Fitter, I think, if things go sideways, will still have a job here come 2023. If Matt Rhule is not able to get this team to the playoffs or if David Tepper decides to move on, I believe Scott Fitter will still be here in Carolina. It also depends on how things go. So that's just one of the things I was curious about. And just last thing here, and I meant to ask you this earlier, your colleague Dane Brugler from The Athletic had came out with his mock draft today, mocking Charles Cross, the offensive tackle from Mississippi State to the Carolina Panthers. Same thing happened with Mel Kiper Jr. He mocked Charles Cross. Just your thoughts right then and there. As we talked earlier about the left tackle situation and is potentially there, would that make a ton of sense to you in terms of the Carolina Panthers if they went tackle, especially after whatever, if they were able to fill their other needs via free agency?
Yeah, I agree with what we were you were saying earlier and what we talked about. It seems like the better way to go, like the Jordan Gross model, if you will. Like,
yeah.
Your tackle high. And then go, you know, sign Jake DeLone in this. So I think you look at Evan Neal at Alabama and Iguanu at NC State and Charles Cross, who, as you said, our guy mocked. And there may be another one, but those seem to be the consensus top three. And one of those guys is going to be I was a little surprised in Brugler's mock that the other two guys were already. And so the Panthers had to take Cross at six or be left out in the cold. I thought that was a fascinating look at it. And Dane does a hell of a job, you know, researching and talking to people. So, but it's early. I mean, God, you know, my goodness, anything can happen. But I think that's probably the path back to the playoffs for the Panthers. And here's the thing, though, like sustained success. Like, we heard so much about sustained success. And so the left tackle is a big piece of that. And you're right. You go out and you get a free agent and a guy, you know, several of those guys are on the wrong side of 30. And it's a pretty big gamble. But you got to get the quarterback right, too. Like, it's one thing to take Charles Cross and like, okay, now we can bump Brady Christensen into left guard. And we're going to go sign some right guard of whomever from in free agency. And we're feeling okay about offensive line. Mm-hmm. Great, but you still got Sam Darnold if you haven't done anything for quarterback position. So I think it's going to be kind of a 1-2 combination. And I'm really, really fascinated by how this plays out.
Yeah, it's almost as if it would have been better had the Carolina Panthers just stuck with Teddy Bridgewater and continued to build the roster instead of mortgaging draft assets and hoping that they could turn around a quarterback who was terrible for 3 years in New York and ask him to come to Carolina and be better, which, as we saw, did not work out. So
no, they absolutely should have kept Teddy. We'll discuss that another.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your time as always, Joe. You do a great job covering this team. And again, congratulations on being named a North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year. Folks, go out there and follow him on Twitter at Joseph Person, again, of The Athletic, covering the Carolina Panthers. Big crap beer guy as well. So if you ever need a crap beer recommendation, go over to Joe. And you should be subscribing already to The Athletic. It's not that much money. And honestly, they do a great job covering not just the Panthers, but all sports teams, even across sea overseas. If you're a big EPL fan like myself, you can go check out your teams overseas in Europe. So thanks again to Joe Person for joining me on the show. Joe, thanks as always, man. You do a great job. Hope to catch up with you soon.
I appreciate it, Julian. Holler at me anytime, man.
Great conversation there with Joe Person from The Athletic, who covers the Carolina Panthers. Again, follow him on Twitter at Joseph Person. Does a fantastic job covering the Carolina Panthers. Has been writing a lot of things lately. Had that great piece on what was going on at the Carolina Panthers and just the thoughts of whether Matt Rhule is the right guy here in Carolina. He will also be the man to follow as we continue to see who will be the next OC here in Carolina, along with the other three staff hirings that Matt Rhule needs to make. And hopefully being able to find the right quarterback and finding a new offensive line and what happens throughout the draft. So check him out throughout the offseason over there on The Athletic. So follow him on Twitter again, at Joseph Person. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. With yours truly, Julian Council, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. And also check us out on Spotify and wherever you listen to this show and all your favorite shows across the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, as tomorrow is Friday, which means it's time for the weekly Friday mailbag. So go ahead and either at me or DM me at Julian Council, whatever questions that you have as they pertain to your Carolina Panthers. Until then, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I will talk to y'all on Friday.